everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 41. We're excited to be here this week. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth. I am joined this week by Bradley Cragen.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
And Matt Desend.
Have I missed too many shows? I'm no longer the second in command.
Actually, I totally just did that completely on accident, so apologies.
I don't feel like it was on accident. I feel like it's a Freudian slip, and you're slowly trying to kick me out now.
Well, it was. It possibly was influenced by the fact that you weren't here last week. I don't know.
I wasn't. It was a very good episode, though. I enjoyed listening to you guys banter.
Thank you. We enjoyed recording, but we're glad to have you back. So thanks for joining us this week.
Yes.
Happy to be back.
All right. This week we'll be talking about our usual
Swagalicious.
Swag. Yep. Swagalicious section. What we've been playing. Bradley, you need to come up with like a nickname for every section now.
Oh boy. I have to think of something for this one.
Well, let's just start with our Swagalicious section, recent swag, and then we'll get into what we've been playing in our feature, and we'll see if Bradley can come up with some brilliant nicknames for those. All right, so as far as recent swag goes, I'm just going to start off by saying I did not receive any this week. I am literally getting my special edition copy of Xenoblade Chronicles X on Monday the 7th, which is the day this podcast should be published, so as of today, though, I do not own that yet, and I haven't gotten any recent swag. So, let's move on to Matt.
I actually have some recent swag!
Woo-hoo! We're so happy.
I'm happy about it. It's been a while, and finally there was a couple good deals that came around my local places that I like to hunt for my video games and things. The first thing I picked up was a video game that I have never played, but I've always heard very good things about, so I'm excited to give it a shot eventually. I don't know when that's going to be. But Epic Mickey for the Wii. I got it for a really good deal. I've never played it, and I've always been interested in it. Kind of like the history and the story behind Epic Mickey for the Wii, because, you know, it's always been kind of considered, it's oddly considered like a failure.
That's odd. In terms of sales?
Okay. Which is so weird because
it's a Disney game on, like, the most popular console of last generation, so...
I think it sold over a million.
It did!
Yeah.
But if you go through, like, quotes and things like that, or just, like, basic things about, like, the game, people consider it a failure. And I don't know if it's because, like you said, it's a Disney game on the most popular console at the time, and maybe that's why they considered it to be a failure. But I don't understand how a million sales was not a success enough, you know, and it was a weird, it's a weird history with that game.
Maybe their budget was super high.
I think they just expected it to be like a 5 to maybe 20 million, you know, the same. They expected it, I think, to sell like a Mario game.
Yeah. A lot of Nintendo games cracked 10,000, so, or 10 million, sorry. Oh my gosh, 10,000.
I hope 10,000.
Yeah, at least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited to play that. And then I got a second copy on the GameCube of Metroid Prime.
So now you own two Metroid Primes
for GameCube? I own two Metroid Primes for GameCube. I couldn't pass it up. It was so cheap. I had to get it again. I had no issue with it again.
And how much did you get both of those for?
Well, Epic Mickey I got for $3. And
oh, sweet.
The second copy of Metroid Prime I got for $5.
Wow, nice. That was good.
Yeah, so it was way too good of a deal. I could not pass it up.
Do you have a mom and pop shop near you or something?
Yeah, I have multiple thrift shops.
Lucky?
Oh yeah, I have lots of fun. I try if I frequent them enough, then I get good deals like this all the time. The problem is if I'm not consistent, then I miss things as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep, so that's my recent swag. It was pretty awesome to get that.
And I think Bradley got a little bit of recent swag this week as well.
Yes, the only thing I can recall that I got is the Wii Fit U bundle that I talked about in the last podcast. The $26 bundle that came with the balance board, the fit meter, and the game. So that came in the mail.
So a physical copy of the game?
Yes.
For some reason, like, I got that digitally, and I almost, like, was under the impression, I think, for a while that it was digital only, weirdly.
Well, yeah, if you got the fit meter, you unlock the digital version. Like, there's a lot of ways to get that game.
Yep. Yeah, you got it for free or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the route I went, so.
Yeah, I didn't have a balance board, so I thought, why not?
Yeah, not a bad idea. Have you tried it out yet?
I have not.
But it is official Nintendo refurbished, right? So
I don't even think it's refurbished.
Oh, okay. So it's guaranteed to work then? For a minute, I was thinking, like, what if it didn't work?
Yeah, I think it's brand new.
Okay.
They have so many of those, they're just giving them away at this point.
Pretty much.
A game that I would highly recommend you check out with your...
your brand new balance board!
Your brand new balance board is a game called Skate It for the Wii.
Sounds familiar.
It's really cool. You know, it's based off the skate games that came to the 360 and the PS3. And this one was made specifically for the Wii. And it actually has like a really cool control setup. And even though it may not feel exactly like you're riding a skateboard, I personally felt when I used to play it, it was fun, entertaining. And it had that old school, like, I don't know, when you did a trick and you didn't do it good, then you felt like I can go do that again. And it was very open and free. And I don't know, it was a really cool game. And it's a cheap one to find, I'm pretty sure. So if you ever come across Skate It for the Wii, I would highly recommend it.
All right.
I will too. I do have a balance board too, you know.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, then I also recommend this game to you as well.
All right. I made a mental note of everything you just said, so I think we're good there.
Sweet.
All right, let's talk about what we have been playing. Anything interesting on your end, Matt? Besides Paper Mario, we're going to talk a little bit more about Paper Mario, but not until we all finish our personal stuff.
The main game that I've been playing a little bit of consistency just recently was Splatoon. After I watched the Video Game Awards and it won Best Multiplayer Game and Best...
Shooter,
yeah. I was pretty blown away, and for some reason I just realized, like, man, it's been a while since I played it. So I spent all of yesterday, well, not all of yesterday, but a good chunk of yesterday playing it. It was a lot of fun during the daytime. I did not get to participate in the Splatfest, but I did choose pizza, but I didn't get to participate in it. So that's a little downing for me. It's so much fun. Like, it is so crazy. Like, how much pure fun. It was crazy because I was doing really good. I was swapping back between ranked and unranked matches just for fun because it was Turf War, obviously. And then for the ranked matches at the time, it was Splat Zones. So I was just kind of switching. I like Splat Zones.
The only ranked mode I've played that I actually enjoy so far, like, I haven't actually experienced them all, I don't think. I didn't play a lot of Rainmaker, but Tower Control, that's the only one that I like. Only because it's awesome for sloshers, because if an enemy is on top of the tower, you can just, like, slosh them from down below and they don't even see it coming, so.
I haven't played any of the new stuff.
It's pretty good. And then, like, the new stages, there's this new one called Maui Maui something. I can't remember, but have you guys ever seen this show Wipeout?
Yeah.
You know how they're doing all these things on top of these, like, obstacles, and then if they fall into a bunch of water and stuff? Uh-huh. You're basically playing on top of a giant Wipeout stage. Like, you're jumping from, like, platform to platform to platform, and below you is water. So you always have to be, like, aware of where you're jumping, because if you miss a jump, you'll fall in the water, and then you'll die, obviously. So it's just a really fun stage. I was having a great time, and for some reason, my 10-month-old decided that I was done playing, and she unplugged my entertainment center.
Oh, man.
So it was like, what just happened? And I was on this great roll of, like, 7 wins in a row and stuff like that.
Oh, your poor teammates after that.
I'm sure. But it was a ton of fun, and I love that game. But it is, even though I really like the new stage that they had included, they did something really weird. On ranked and unranked, Maui Maui was a stage on both of them, and then they'd had a different stage on unranked and a different stage on ranked. So there were, instead of normally being kind of 4 different stages, there was only actually 3 different stages available when I was playing.
Just because they used a similar stage for the two modes?
Yeah, they used the same stage for the two modes. So
that doesn't strike me as very odd.
I think it's Mahi Mahi Resort.
Yeah, Mahi Mahi Resort. Yeah, that's what it was called.
Bradley's the man with the info. Dang, that doesn't rhyme.
But it was a really good stage. So, like, I didn't, like, hate it. But at the same time, after literally playing it, I kid you not, 4 times in a row, one time. 4 times in a row, I was ready for something different. And it was just, I love this game so very much. I really, really do. It's so much fun, and it's just, I don't know. It really is the best multiplayer, best shooter. Like, I think these awards are very well deserved, and I think partly they win because people are getting tired of the same old Call of Duty. We love it. It's fun. It's great. It's competitive. All those great things. But Splatoon did something so different, unique, and fun. But there's so many little tiny quirks about it that just feel hindering. I don't know. It's just frustrating sometimes. But that's what I played besides Paper Mario. So that's what I was doing.
Well, I know there's a new slosher, a new variation on the slosher weapon type, and I haven't tried it yet, so that's been, like, if I were to go to Splatoon, that would be my main motivation right now, but...
You'll pop it in and then realize, like, why don't I play this on, like, a very consistent basis? Because it's so much fun!
Yeah, I imagine that'll be how it is. I get a little overly competitive at times, but I still have a blast, even if I lose, as long as I'm using the slosher. I don't know why, that weapon is the only weapon I can always have fun with.
That's the only Wii U game I can't play online for some reason. My internet doesn't like it. Always kicks me out.
Dang. Well, if your internet's not really up to snuff...
I gotta upgrade.
Anything interesting on your end, Bradley? I think I'm out of Xenoblade Chronicles X questions, so we can probably move on from that.
Yeah, I played a bunch of Xenoblade Chronicles X for my review, and then I also played some Dementium Remastered.
Oh, okay. Did you get a review copy for that, or...?
Yeah. I mean, he just sent me a copy. I didn't ask for one, and it's actually really good. Creepy.
Did you ever play it on the DS?
I have not, but it looks really good on the 3DS, in terms of graphics and stuff.
Big fan. It was always a very well-made game. Liked it a lot.
Yeah, the cool thing I like about it is that you can only have one item out at one time, and one of those items is a flashlight, so if you switch to your gun or something, like, the whole room turns to pitch black, so that's where the whole creepy vibe comes in, so that's a really neat little touch.
So is it horrifying? Have you had some seriously horrifying moments playing it?
There's, like, these little slug things that are really annoying.
Bugs. Bradley's Bane.
Yeah, and they sound like little babies. So those are kind of creepy.
Okay. Would you say you're pretty good at handling horror games, though?
Yeah. I mean...
Okay.
Yeah,
kind of. I would die. Literally, I think I would die if I tried playing one.
I mean, I do get scared, though.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, I have to put the game down.
Well, how would you rate this? Have you ever played a game that, like, what would you say is the most horrifying game that you have ever played? And how does this game compare to that in terms of horrifyingness?
I haven't played too many horror games. I think the one that's the most scariest I played was Resident Evil 4.
Which probably can't be beat, as far as I can tell. Most people think that game can't be beat.
It's really good, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is a good game. I haven't played too much of Dementium Remastered, so I haven't seen, like, a whole bunch of enemies yet, so I can't really compare either one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll probably have to talk a little bit more about that one in the next episode. Did you have any other games you wanted to talk about that you've been playing?
I've been playing SteamWorld Heist, but I can't talk about it. It's under embargo.
Yeah. Dang it. By 2 days. The podcast comes out on the 7th. Embargo ends on the 9th, so...
Yep.
Well, next week, again, we'll probably have to revisit that. As for what I've been playing, last night, which was Friday night, I played The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes locally. That is the way to go. Any multiplayer game, if you can play it locally, that is, I mean, local play is king, in my opinion. So, yeah, me and my friends played it. There are a couple of Zelda fans, so even in this tiny little town of mine, I know at least two other people who are Zelda fans, so that we wouldn't be completely... Or, you know, I wouldn't get too impatient, I guess. So, we had a bunch of fun playing it. It is extremely challenging. We got to some of the later, dungeons, and I think there are only 4. Is that right?
There's 8.
8 different areas?
Yeah. Plus the new Den of Trials. So, 9, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I probably should have known that because there are, like, blank spaces, I guess, when you go to choose an area. Mm-hmm. So I should have counted. But, we got to some of the later ones, the ice one and the lava one, and there were some seriously challenging levels in those, and we lost a lot. We died a lot. But somehow it was still just a blast for some reason. I can't really explain it. It's just really, really fun. Plus, I got some, let's see, what are they called? Friendship tokens or whatever that allow you to create the 8-bit Link costume. I got a couple of those. I only got two so far. And you need three to make that costume, but I'm well on my way, and I plan to play that again locally with those friends eventually.
I think the new update made it easier to get friend tokens, but I don't remember how they did to make it easier. Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess before the update, you could only get them by playing locally, oddly.
Which is something that I can't really do.
Yeah, I guarantee you a lot of people can't. I've played a few times online, and I never see anybody wearing that 8-bit costume. So mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people are playing locally, but it would be a good idea to make up those friendship tokens a little easier to get, but I don't know.
Have you tried the Power Ranger suit?
No, I haven't. I believe that one takes 5 friendship tokens, so yeah. Don't have enough for that one either.
If everyone wears the costume, something happens. I don't know.
You don't know what it is?
No.
It could be in spoiler territory, but yeah, I did read that in the description. I was like, ooh, I wonder what would happen. The only problem is that I, for my one friend who actually doesn't own a 3DS, I had to bring my brother's 3DS, and we don't have a copy of the game for that, so we actually had to use download play on that particular system. So we won't be able to get a costume on that particular system.
Oh, shucks.
Once again,
the full game isn't there.
Weird little things that Nintendo does sometimes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is a little odd. But yeah, super fun to play locally, though. Super challenging as well. I mean, there were points at which I was like, oh my gosh, once I get to this level, when I play online, I'm probably going to want to tear my hair out. I can't imagine how you can play some of these things online with other people who might not really understand what they're doing.
Just wait until you get to the desert. The final boss in the desert area.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, snaps.
We're going to do it, though. I am telling you, I'm getting these friends together again as many times as it takes. We're totally going to make this game. I'm going to try anyway. But all right, let's talk about Paper Mario. Last week, of course, was the last episode for November, last episode of the podcast for November, during which we played Paper Mario for our Game of the Month Club. But since Matt wasn't here and Bradley hasn't even played the game, we thought we'd talk a little bit more about Paper Mario today. So do you have anything specific that you want to throw out there right off the bat, Matt?
Well, I think that it should be kind of stated and an understanding that the Game of the Month Club is not necessarily the idea that you have to beat these games. It's an opportunity to go through your backlog for a game that we can all talk about at the same time and communicate our opinions and feelings about as we play the game as well. And I'm mainly saying this because I did not beat it, so I just want to make sure.
I still haven't beaten it either. I'm well, you know, I don't think this is a spoiler, but I'm in Bowser's Castle right now, which is probably the last
spoiler.
Location.
Spoiler!
So. Oh, you go, you mean,
oh, there's a Bowser's
you
Castle.
You mean you
in
fight
game.
Bowser Shock. In this game?
Yes, I believe you do. I just haven't gotten there yet, but I'm dang
He's literally
close.
The first person you fight in the game, actually.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that is
really?
I almost forgot that.
I'm about 5.5 hours in. I just looked the other day, and I really like this game a lot. I really like the fight style that it goes for. I like the writing. I think the game is gorgeous, and I wish that instead of doing like Twilight Princess in HD, they would have maybe chose something like this game and made it in HD. That would have been really cool. The game is inviting in a way that most RPGs I feel aren't. Even though there's a pretty good amount of prologue before the game kind of gets going, I felt was a little bit stunting.
Long.
Yeah, a little long in the tooth. But after that, I feel like it really lets you go, and it never really stops. You know, this is very much a linear RPG, more than very open, I feel. There's moments where you can go off and do extra things, but for the most part, you kind of go left, then you go right, then you go up, then you go down, and it's very by the numbers. I don't think
yeah,
there's
you
anything...
never really wonder where you have to go next,
yeah.
I noticed.
Even after chapter one, I thought it was so funny. It's like after chapter one, and my first thought was like, oh, okay, so what do I do next? Because there wasn't really anything that told you what to do after at the very, very end of chapter one. But then immediately there's a cutscene with the princess, with Princess Peach and her little star buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately
it
tells you
to...
what to do next.
Yeah, it cuts back to Princess Peach in between just about every chapter, and I actually really like that change of pace. I think a lot of people think that those parts are a little repetitive and tedious
but
because
short.
Some of the gameplay elements are like
but,
that. Yeah.
But they're short, though, so I don't...
And they're quirky and charming.
And it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
That happens in a Thousand Year Door as well, you with the little extra cutscenes with Peach.
I may have to wait a while. I mean, I'm close to beating Paper Mario, but I still feel like I might have to wait a little while to start Thousand Year Door, just because I honestly am getting a little teeny bit burnt out on the game.
Because it's I have a question, though.
It's not my ideal RPG, but shoot.
Do you actually control Peach in those cutscenes?
Yes.
Yes, you do. I don't think that's spoiler territory, so yes, you do.
Yeah, you do that in the Thousand Year Door as well.
I don't know. It's a very fun game with good writing, a good style, and then the battle system, I think, is definitely the most appealing part of this, because for me, RPGs, where it's just turn-based and you pick an attack, you do the attack, you wait for the attack to be done, it can get very monotonous. But with this, it's an active battle system, so one of the very first things you learn after you are able to jump on an enemy is you get badges. And each one of the badges activates a different function, and eventually you get to the point where you can learn if you jump on an enemy and you push the A button at a certain point, then it'll allow you to jump on that person again. And I thought, and I learned, mm-hmm. and I like that kind of stuff. And then if you're playing as the Koopa, in the shell, when you're about to do the attack, if you hold the left analog stick back and then release it at just the right moment, then he's going to do more damage as well. And I like those little things so much. Like, they just make the battle system entertaining, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot less passive than some other battle systems can be.
I also like how simple the leveling up system is. Most games you start with, like, okay, you need 100 points to get to level 1. Then you need 150 to get to level 2. Then you need 200 to get to level 3. This is every time you get 100 star points, you level up. And you get a pick between your health, your basically your magic points, but it's flower points, and your badges ability, how many slots you can have for your badges. And then you pick one, and then you move on, and you wait to upgrade again. And I just like how simple that kind of stuff is. For me, who's not the biggest RPG player, this game is so inviting, and I really like that part of it.
Yeah, it's got a lot of really simple systems in place, but they all kind of combine to make it so that there is actual strategy involved as well. So, easy to understand, but there still is strategy that you can do. So I really appreciated that about it as well.
I would also like to throw out just the fact that on Twitter, everyone that did use hashtag NFGameClub, which we obviously appreciate. And I try my best to get, you know, in on the conversation a little bit here and there. But we had some people that were what's his name? I'm looking it up right now. But we had somebody,
Knight T. Gant, I believe, the person who actually recommended it. I think that's who you're thinking of. He beat the game.
Yes, he beat the game.
I think he's beat it before, and so this was just another playthrough from him. But I'd like to thank him right here on the podcast. I mean, I already did this on Twitter, but right here on the podcast, thank you for recommending that game. It would have just gathered dust in my backlog for probably another few years at least. I'm glad that it was bumped up though.
Yes.
And I finally got around to playing it, because it was a fun game, very fun game.
But yeah, it was a great, yeah. I think I enjoyed it, and I it's one of those games, now that I have it downloaded and it's so easy to play like an hour of it and then put it down and then come back later. I'm that's kind of my plan with this, is to kind of play it whenever I don't know if I don't feel like playing Splatoon, but I want to play something. This is going to be something so easy to play for just a little while and make progress at whenever you play it.
All right. I got another question for both of you guys.
Ooh, let's go.
All right.
So after playing Paper Mario, are you guys planning to pick up Mario and Luigi Paper Jam?
I like the Mario and Luigi games a lot, so I would like to get it, but this is just kind of a busy time for me, and I just know that I wouldn't play it, like, which sucks for me because I think it does look fun, but I don't think I'll be purchasing that game anytime soon.
As for me, I am interested. I have all the Paper Mario games to date now. There are actually only 4 of them, kind of surprisingly. I kind of think that Paper Jam kind of more counts as a spin-off or a crossover, if you will. And I don't necessarily think it counts to actually complete your Paper Mario collection.
Yeah.
So sue me. But I also, I've played Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, which was the first game in that series. I never beat it. I think I played somewhere between 10 and 15 hours of it. And, you know, it was a slog for me. It was a chore to go in there and try to make progress in that game. So I'm actually not that fond of Mario and Luigi based on what I've played of that series. So that is another thing that kind of is deterring me from wanting Paper Jam, sadly.
You gotta play Partners in Time on the DS. I think that is probably... I haven't played a lot of Bowser's Inside Story, but I really liked Partners in Time a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, people usually say Bowser's Inside Story as the best one. I think some people say Partners in Time as well.
I just keep thinking about how there's no paper involved in these games, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to go play them. If there's no paper.
Well, there's paper in Paper Jam.
Yeah, that's not
looks
quite
pretty
enough,
gimmicky
though.
Looks pretty like tiny. I don't know.
It kind of does. And Sticker Star is not considered the best Paper Mario, and that's the most recent one. And so I'm kind of worried that maybe the series, I don't know, it needs a big change, or maybe back to its roots or something to make it good. And
Super,
it doesn't seem like that's what Paper Jam is doing.
Super Paper Mario, I think, is my favorite Paper Mario game. And it's less.
I guess you got to play Thousand Year Door.
Very true, but I'm just saying. Like, and I know that one's the least RPG of them all. So maybe that's why I kind of like it or something. But I do really like how it's just like a 2D that turns into a semi 3D platforming game. I don't know. I thought that was pretty fun.
Hmm.
But yeah, super. But Paper Mario for the Nintendo 64. I would recommend going and grabbing it. I mean, if you are somebody that was curious about this game and you've always kind of wondered, like, is this something I want to play or whatever, I think it's definitely worth the $10 for the N64 game. Otherwise, go out and buy a Nintendo 64 and go through all that rigmarole. Like, this is one of those situations where the Virtual Console, I think, is a very, very positive thing for us to have at our disposal to play games like this that are not always easily accessible. And I think this is just, I don't know, it's a really good game, and I would recommend it.
Yeah. Restore points for the win as well.
Oh, yeah.
I have used those
I haven't used it to cheat or anything. I honestly have used it when I save. I just make a restore point there, and then I don't have to, like...
Just in case.
Well, I don't have to go through the menu. Like, you just, you start the game up, and then you just start your restore point, and it's exactly like you save the game.
Well, you don't have to create a restore point for the game to automatically be exactly where you were when you ended it.
Oh.
If that makes any sense.
Is that so?
It's kind of surprising for the Wii U, because with the Wii, N64 games on the Wii did not have restore points. They did not
anything at all.
It didn't automatically save where you were at like it did with Super Nintendo games and so on. So, yeah, a big upgrade for the Wii U. However, creating an actual restore point manually, like doing it yourself, that's a very good safeguard, because I actually did end up losing some data, not a whole lot, at the very beginning of my playthrough, because I I basically turned the Wii U off, after the game had loaded or something like that. I lost data, so yeah, manually creating the restore points is a very good safeguard, so don't stop doing that.
Good idea. Well, I think that's it.
Covers Paper Mario.
I think so. Bradley should give it a shot.
Yep. Yeah. Now we got to play Little Inferno.
Little Inferno
for December. That is a very good game. I actually played it last year, so this will be a replay for me. But oh my gosh, what a weird, awesome game! Not very much of a time commitment either. So for those of you who are interested in joining our Game of the Month club, December's game is Little Inferno. You can get it on the Wii U as well as, I believe, Steam. So
yes.
Either way, whatever works best for you.
I will
play along with us.
I will actually be playing this on Steam. I've never bought it for the Wii U, and then I bought a Humble Bundle, which has a lot of PC and Steam games, and this was one of the games that came with my Humble Bundle. So I'm going to probably just play it on my PC. And yeah, we'll be able to kind of compare notes based upon like the gamepad usage and the PC usage, and it'll be a little bit different this time.
Yeah, the Wii U version includes Wii Remote support. So since I've already beaten it once using the gamepad, maybe I'll actually try using the Wii Remote on this gameplay or this playthrough just to compare the two control methods. So
that could be
fun.
Yeah.
For those of you, like I say, who want to join us, just play the game. If you would like to actually talk to us on Twitter about it, use hashtag NFGameClub, and we will most likely see that and be able to chat with you about Little Inferno. So please do join us playing that game. All right, I think we can talk about our feature today, which I'm actually pretty excited for this one. We're going to talk about Tatsumi Kimishima's very first interview, which was with Time Magazine. So he is, of course, the new president of Nintendo, and I just put down some of the important points, to me anyway, these were the most important points, that he mentioned in his interview with Time. So the first one on here, Nintendo is trying to, and this was kind of a theme throughout the interview, Nintendo's trying to push their IPs out there more through mobile theme parks. He mentioned the theme park thing multiple times, I believe, in this interview, so I thought that was interesting. And additional things will help that as well. And the unified account system that Nintendo's trying to create here, which I believe has a name. Is it called My Nintendo or?
Yeah.
It's got a name. Anyway, so the unified account system is really important to that strategy of pushing Nintendo's IPs out to more people. So do we have any thoughts on this?
Well, we did all recently hear that My Nintendo account got released early in Japan. Not early, but it just kind of did like a stealth release in Japan.
Okay.
Where it's out, it's available, people are using it, they're tracking their purchases. There's not a whole lot of information as like what the point is yet, but it's supposed to be coming to America and Europe next year. I worry that Nintendo is a big company, a big machine, and they've already started in one direction. And I worry that regardless of what's kind of happening, if they had something kind of set in stone, they're just kind of going down this road that there is no turns on. I hope that if there's something that could be done to create a better idea of whatever it is that they're doing, they'll be willing to make adjustments and change things. You know, that's partly what I feel is wrong with like Splatoon. I feel like they had an idea and they went and they just kind of stayed down that road and didn't really look back. And even though there was like an opportunity to, let's say, to make a left turn and change something, it would have took longer for them to get to their destination than if they were to go down the straight road. So I hope with this new president, and obviously Iwata always did a good job of like trying to do the best for the company and the best for the game as well. I just hope that there's maybe a focus on the idea of not necessarily like what the fans want, because the fans don't always know what the best thing is, but just I want to see improvement across the board sometimes, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I think is funny, like there's a lot of talk about Nintendo IPs and so on in the interview, and I think Nintendo is underutilizing a ton of those IPs. So I'm kind of wondering if part of their strategy is to try to strengthen some of those RPGs those IPs that we don't see a whole lot.
They did just recently announce that, what is it, with that clothing line, Muchismo or something like that?
I have not heard this all.
So. You didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Some clothing line, it's...
is this yes, Japan it's only? A Japan thing. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They are using their IP inside of... In this, what is it? It's like t-shirts and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Super Muchismo.
I think it's Italian.
I can't.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I just saw this the other day. They are doing different things.
Yeah, and they have like little Marios.
But is that what they should be doing? I mean, is that the way that they should help with their IP is by putting it on a t-shirt more often? I feel like there's plenty of t-shirts that say Mario on it. Like, I don't think that's the issue or the problem. I feel like the bigger thing is... their games, right? Like, just their games. Like, they have so much IP, and like, if it's funny that we don't have an F-Zero game. You know what I mean? Like, why not? If they didn't want to make a full-featured F-Zero game, because it is a beloved IP and people do care about it, why not just make an eShop F-Zero game? Why not just make an eShop, instead of getting this, I'm sorry, but I think Star Fox is going to turn out to be not very good. Instead of getting something like this for Star Fox, why not do a smaller style Star Fox game that's an eShop game? Like, they have this ability to release software in a multitude of platforms and a multitude of ways. Why not take a different team, a very talented team, somebody with artistic direction, give them an IP and just do something with it? I think that could be exciting, and I feel like maybe that's not the answer. I think the mobile side of things is actually going to be very beneficial. The idea that they want people to interact with their IP more, I think we're going to see some neat stuff come out of that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So something that kind of ties into this is Miitomo, which is the next bullet point on our notes here. In the interview, Kimishima kind of talks about how Miitomo, it being the first mobile app that Nintendo is releasing in conjunction with DNA, it's kind of like the starting point for their mobile strategy. Nintendo hopes that people will connect to the broader spectrum of Nintendo IPs through this app, this Miitomo app. Kimishima also actually believes that Nintendo has not done a very good job yet of explaining what Miitomo is and what the appeal of it is. Now, I know, based on previous videos of Bradley's that I have seen, that Bradley, you are not much of a fan of Miitomo, am I right?
Yeah, and I think I'm kind of in the same boat as Kimishima here. They haven't really told us exactly all the details about it, so I'm not the biggest fan of what I've heard so far, but maybe there's something hidden? I don't know.
So what have we heard so far, anyway?
You'll be able to connect with people, kind of like the idea of street passing.
Yeah, it's basically talking with people and answering questions that you wouldn't normally answer in real life.
So that other people, like your friends, your connections, can see what your answers would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of understand your personality and stuff like that.
I heard microtransactions are going to play a part. How do they play a part? Do we even know that yet?
I believe it's costumes for your Mii.
Wow.
I don't think
microtransactions are a very good idea for the first app that Nintendo is putting out. Because it makes it somewhat like, oh, it has microtransactions. I'm not sure if I want it. Just make it free, man. Make it easy to connect with your friends and make it free. Everyone will have it. And so your connections will grow. And
they got to make some money.
Better. Yeah.
Still. I think all the DNA games that they're making are free to play.
Yes, I think that.
Or at least free to start.
No, yeah, I think they're all
free to play.
They call it free to start, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they're all free to play that are coming to the mobile platform. The free to start idea is more for what they're doing on their own platform, I feel.
Pokemon
Shuffle.
What is that game? Yeah.
Was
that,
it?
And
then, badges, the badge arcade.
Yeah.
Wait, we're talking about free to start stuff now? Jeez, Pokemon yes. Rumble World and Push Stretchmo, sorry.
Yeah.
Also, I think there's an upcoming one that's going to be free to start, but I can't. Oh, Pokemon Picross, I believe actually is free to start.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of expecting it to show up on my home screen any day now. So, yeah, Nintendo has delved into microtransactions and the
for a
like.
While now, actually.
Yep.
And supposedly, I don't know anything about like the badge arcade, but I know Pokemon Shuffle was a hit for them on the 3DS. Like, they spoke about numbers with that game all the time. They're very, very happy with it. So I know.
So, yeah. I think they're going to do good on the mobile.
And I think it's a good idea. I don't know if Miitomo is the best thing. Like, I don't want. It's funny that if it is a hit, let's say it is. I don't know if it will be or not, but let's say it is. I don't know if anyone's going to be like, oh man, this was made by Nintendo. Let's go get the Wii U. Like, I don't know if Miitomo is the best introduction point.
It seems more of like a Japanese type of game.
Very much so, yeah.
Because they're more of people who travel around, like on buses and stuff like that.
And actually talk to one another.
Us.
Yeah. Hey, I talk to people. Guess I'm the only one here, though, that does.
I mean,
maybe.
I nod my head at people occasionally.
Yeah. All right, our next bullet point
this.
Here.
Yeah, I want to.
Want to get to our next thing?
Yeah.
So, Kimishima says that he actually kind of talks about how one of the big problems with the Wii U was that it never really picked up momentum, which is kind of key for a video game console. But Nintendo is going to continue to make software for it. He talks about specifically how, like, the Wii U has sold about 10 million units. Well, that's not a whole lot, especially compared to the Wii, but we're still going to make games for those, you know, 10 million people, because
they
would be mad
if
we didn't.
I like how you put down Animal Crossing, Paper Mario, and Metroid. Like, no.
I couldn't think of any other thing, but Nintendo, I mean, he says we're going to keep making software for it.
Yeah, like Wii Fit
U
too. There
could be a legitimate Animal Crossing in the works for Wii U right now.
There'll never be a Wii Fit or a Animal Crossing legit game for the Wii U.
I feel like, if Nintendo didn't come up with something to fill up next year, what on earth are people going to play on the Wii U next year if they're not going to fill it up with like a legit Animal Crossing game or something like that?
Well, we got Star Fox, the Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah, we do have stuff.
Maybe Pikmin?
Next year. Yeah, Pikmin is supposed to be done, I guess. But here's the thing, is I feel like businesses, they'll never lie to you, but they'll tell you a white lie not the whole truth. Let's put it that way. So I do not see us getting many more big-fledged releases besides like Star Fox and... Star Fox, and we're gonna see everything else get moved over to the NX, and NX is gonna be out a little bit sooner than I think what we kind of expected.
Or the Wii U is about to have its second great drought. Like the
oh yeah,
there
we're,
should be like
we're
a name
already
for
in
this.
The drought. We're already done. We're
the Dust Bowl.
It's done. It's sad, but it's done, right? Like think about it. Like look at the upcoming releases on the calendar besides Star Fox in January. And then a bunch, not even a bunch,
well, but
a couple of...
That's actually in April. That's when Star Fox comes out.
It was April?
Yeah.
Do we know it's coming out in January?
Wait, what made you think it was coming out in January?
I don't know. I thought February, actually.
Yeah, it was April. I made a mental note of that because, back when it was delayed, they said it was going to come out in quarter one of next year. Well, April is quarter two. Thank you very much, Nintendo. So... that's why that stuck with me. But yeah, April's when Star Fox comes out.
Here's the thing, is they're relying on their indie platform so much, which I think is cool, but I don't know if they're doing a good enough job of really...
We got Lost Reavers.
You mean the indies or Nintendo?
I don't know. A little bit of both, I guess, kind of, but I feel like it's kind of up to Nintendo. I don't know. Like I feel like Nintendo has a very good eShop market. And there's a lot of cool stuff coming. Bloodstained is supposed to be coming. Mighty No. 9. I'm not super looking forward to it. Hex Heroes, Dex, Rive. Like, there's some cool stuff.
What was that one that you mentioned, Bradley?
Lost Reavers. That's
what is
the
that?
The free-to-play game from Namco Bandai.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just got released in Japan.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, I totally forgot about it, sadly.
I don't
know. Come on, Nintendo, you don't have a whole lot of stuff coming. Remind us once in a while.
But,
jeez.
Yep.
There is a chance we can get a big-name game for, like, a last hurrah for the Wii U. I mean, the DS did get, like, Kirby Mass Attack.
Do we believe that we're going to get Zelda for the Wii U?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. We hadn't even mentioned that.
Do we think,
I think
the
it's
NX
definite...
is going to come out in 2016?
The rumors are pointing towards that.
They're definitely looking that way.
Like, electrical component suppliers are saying that Nintendo's going to be making start mass production like at the end of the first quarter of 2016.
I do still believe that Zelda for Wii U is going to be Wii U exclusive, though.
Yeah, it's definitely going to come to the Wii U. I mean, there is a chance there will be an NX version, but... it's going to come to the Wii U.
Well, at least we got Zelda to look forward to, as well as Star Fox and Shin Megami Tensei Crossfire, Fire Emblem, which I'm not interested in the least, to be honest.
No, you got
to
say the Japanese name. It's like Janai something, hashtag FE.
That's odd. Do you think they actually say hashtag over there, like for the hashtag?
Well, I think it's like a musical note. Sharp.
Oh, for them.
Yeah,
it would be a sharp sign, so...
I don't know.
All right.
Crazy stuff. All
right.
We got other quotes. Let's hear this other. So, like I said, I don't think he's lying, but I do think he's withholding the truth.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Stretching it a little bit.
It's good for us to have some conflict on the podcast, so I appreciate your...
doubt?
Opinion there. So, yeah, I really do. I'm not overly optimistic, but I do think Nintendo would be wise to put out something.
They would be.
All right, let's shift gears completely, though, and talk about Amiibo. Kimishima talks about how Nintendo originally, and I think this is pretty obvious anyway, but Nintendo originally meant for Amiibo to be more of gameplay devices than collectibles, which they have become more, you know, collectible than gameplay device.
True.
But that's Nintendo's own fault. They're the one that has to add the functionality to it. That literally makes no sense. This is a very bad quote. If Nintendo is the ones that's behind this quote, which they are, then they're putting egg on their own face. They are the ones that released them, that released Amiibo into the wild with the function that they have. And if they wanted it to be a gameplay function, then they should have better gameplay mechanics with them. Instead of having a Super Mario series and a Smash Brothers series of the same Mario character, and they do the same thing. Like, that is what collectibles are. It's called variants. We've been doing it for many, many years in comic books and everything else, special editions, blah, blah, blah. It's the same exact thing, looks slightly different. If it's an actual gameplay device, then a different Mario should do something different. In Smash Brothers, the Smash Brothers version of Mario should do something different than the Super Mario version of you know, the Mario Amiibo. Yeah, exactly. It should do something slightly different, but it doesn't. It's a variant. It does the same thing. It's a collectible at that point. It's Nintendo's fault. They send them into the wild. They're the ones that is a frustrating quote, in my opinion.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess Nintendo probably had high hopes, and they probably were optimistic that the gameplay mechanics that they were attaching onto Amiibo were actually, you know, compelling, but honestly, they're not really. I remember when Amiibo were first starting to come out and things like that, and there was a lot of talk about how, like, you know, Nintendo should make a whole game dedicated to Amiibo. Well, yeah, they made Amiibo Tap, but that's really...
That's not...
Oh my gosh, that's not good.
No, wait, Animal Crossing.
Really? No.
Amiibo Festival?
Yeah.
No, they need to make an Amiibo game, not that game.
But it's you have to have Amiibo to play it.
Very true, but...
That is true.
We all want Minecraft with Amiibo.
Minecraft?
With Amiibo, yes, support, where you, like, tap the Mario, and then you get, like, the Mario blocks, and then you tap Zelda, and then you get, like Zelda stuff. And then you build...
Okay.
And then you build a world around it, like Minecraft, only it's Nintendo-themed.
And people were always worried, though, about things being locked by Amiibo. Like,
it's such a bumpy road.
There's no way of getting around them not being a paywall.
Yeah, I agree. Right. And it's one of those things where you get to decide and choose. The problem was, the bigger problem with the paywall was just the fact that it's difficult to find the Amiibo that you want. And that's the problem with a paywall with a piece of plastic, right? Like, there's no other way to get it besides owning this piece of plastic. It only becomes a problem if, one, you don't want to pay for the plastic, but then you're kind of okay with not getting it. Like, DLC, to a point. Part two, with DLC, you can go in the store at any time, buy it, get it, you're fine. With this Amiibo, such as, like, the Ike or the Little Mac or whatever the case may be, these were things that were so difficult to find that you were paying more money than you should have to experience content that other people paid a regular price and were able to experience.
Yeah. I think Super Mario Maker did a pretty good job in not making them a paywall, because you can unlock all those costumes without having the Amiibo. Just having the Amiibo would allow you to unlock them faster.
Yep. But,
yeah.
So, yeah. It's
paying for an Amiibo versus a few extra hours of gameplay to unlock them.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about NX. We've got about 10 minutes left in the podcast by my timing. So, things that he mentioned on NX. The NX is going to be a new thing. It'll be separate from the Wii and the Wii U. It's not going to be the next version of those consoles. So that's kind of the first NX point that we have here. Good news.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and to me it's very good news.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Wii. It's just kind of run its course, the Wii brand.
Yeah. Also, I think that there's actually more that's being said in that quote. I think it's important that they're saying that it's a departure from the Wii and the Wii U. I think that means a lot more than just the fact that it's, like, ditching the Wiimote, or it's ditching the gamepad, or it's not going to be, I don't know, just it's ditching these elements. But I think it's also in maybe a very scary point, talking about not being a traditional video game console as well. Like, even more so than the Wii and the Wii U. Because at the end of the day, the Wii and the Wii U are both traditional game consoles. You buy a game, you put it in there, you play a video game. I think those are very key components of what those systems do. This is a... I think that the actual quote, like, line for line is something like it's going to be a big departure or something like that. Isn't it kind of like he uses an adjective in front of the word departure? A complete departure. Yeah, complete, he says
something like that.
Exactly. And that could, you know, a lot of people want the NX to be a hybrid system. I do. I really do. I want it to be a handheld platform system that I can take the game on go. I think that'll be really cool. I personally want to see that happen. And that could be, you know, a good thing, a bad thing, whatever. But there's a lot in this one line. This is not the next version of the Wii or the Wii U. This is not their next, like, grab at casual gamers. Or this is not their next, we're going to try and do a gimmick to impress people. This is not, we're going to downgrade our stuff. Like, there's a lot to unwrap in this particular quote. And I'm excited to know what that means exactly. And I don't know.
If they're departing from the Wii U, I mean, it's going to, of course, it's going to look different. I mean, because the Wii and the Wii U, like, the systems look really similar to each other.
Yes.
I think that's where kind of where people got confused.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they released the first video.
And I don't think they're going to be, like, showcasing people using Wii remotes and stuff like that. Because that kind of confuses people.
Mm-hmm. So I think that both of you guys are, well, Matt more than Bradley for sure, are reading a little bit too much into it.
Nope.
I'm taking it at face value here. I mean, yes, it's going to be a departure from Wii and Wii U, but that's exactly what he said. And, you know, I don't think that that necessarily means that it's going to be a departure from, you know, traditional gaming or in any way or anything like that, but I'm just taking it at face value.
Do you want it to be a hybrid system, either one of you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do as well. I want to see how it works.
That's
first,
a complete departure. I'm just saying.
It is, but that's face value of the quote.
No, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot to unpack here. It could be something very different that's going to be very odd. Yes, I'm reading. I am a Nintendo fan, and I shoot for the moon, Holly.
Okay. I like the next quote.
Yeah, this is just a kind of an interesting tidbit. Kimishima doesn't actually know what NX means. It might not tie into the system's name, which actually would not be overly surprising, but it might not also, it might also not have any meaning.
Yeah.
I always like to think
it might have had meaning. He actually talks about Iwata. He says, like, who knows, maybe Iwata, you know, meant to tell me before he passed away what the meaning was, but he just never got around to it, which would be, you know what, if there was meaning to it,
some meaning to it, otherwise they wouldn't have picked that name.
Yeah.
Well, what about Project Cafe? You mentioned this in your recent News Roundup video, actually. Yeah. I mean, that has nothing, and I love your News Roundup, by the way. You're all like, yeah, that the Wii U did not make any coffee, so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just code name.
Yeah, code name. Yeah. Revolution for the Wii, Dolphin for the GameCube, Ultra 64 was probably.
Well, Revolution had meaning.
Yes, and.
Yeah, Revolution does.
It does.
Not Dolphin, though.
Yeah, Dolphin.
Project Cafe.
I don't know. I always like the idea that NX stood for Nintendo Experience or New Experience. I always thought that was fun.
Someone brought up.
It's not too surprising, like you said, but yeah, it is just a code name.
Someone brought up that the X might be a Roman numeral for 10, like as the 10th console.
Would this be?
Is it the 10th console?
Home console? I don't know.
NES, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64. See, are we counting handhelds too?
No, I think just maybe home consoles.
Does Virtual Boy count as a home handhelds, console?
It would be more than 10, I'm sure.
We're gonna start at the very beginning. NES, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, Virtual Boy.
Game Boy. Wait, I thought we weren't doing handhelds.
Well, otherwise, there's only like six because NES, Super Nintendo, 64.
With all the handhelds, I guarantee you, it's at least a dozen.
I'm gonna look this up on the internet because you guys keep interrupting my counting. I just typed NES, internet in the internet.
NES, Super Nintendo, Virtual Boy, N64, GameCube, Wii, Wii U.
What's that?
It's seven.
Seven? So this
Wait
would be
a
eight?
Minute.
Wait, eight. I forgot 64, I think. That would be eight. So this would be the ninth.
No, I think, well, if you don't count handhelds, I think it's the eighth. Or, sorry, the seventh. I'm actually looking at NintendoFever.com because at the top we've got all the home consoles spread out. So NES, SNES, N64, GameCube, Wii U. That's six. So this would be the seventh for home consoles, if you don't count the handhelds.
And Virtual Boy?
Oh, would the Virtual Boy be a home console? Or
I think
so. That was in the handheld realm.
That was supposed to be portable, quote-unquote.
Oh, come on.
It was supposed to.
Think it's a giant beast.
Oh, man.
Okay, I guess that's not right.
No.
Yeah, the Roman numeral thing, I mean, it would be a stretch to claim that.
the Japanese market likes to use X as cross, like crossover or a combination mm-hmm. of. You saw that with, like, what was it? Mario Kart X, Animal Crossing.
Or Project Cross Zone.
Okay, I got to pause real quick. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. I don't know about the crossover thing. Kimishima specifically says that he doesn't think that NX has any meaning.
If it was a hybrid system, then it would probably mean Nintendo Cross, and he would probably know that.
exactly. So the crossover thing is kind of, the cross thing is, that's kind of up in the air as well. So
we'll just have to wait and see.
So there you go, Green Moblin. I'm calling you out because you're the one who wanted us to have that discussion on what NX stands for or means. Well, we have we've kind of actually been given some tidbits of information on that, and we have had our discussion. So
I do like the Nintendo Cross idea, though.
Yeah, I like it as well, actually. I like it a little more than, and I don't know if Matt can hear us or not, but I kind of like it more than his idea of it being just the Nintendo Experience or whatever. That's a little dull.
Or Nintendo Extreme.
Yeah. That's a little better, actually. I'm starting to think he can't hear us, actually, because he'd probably call me out on that.
Call you out on what?
Oh, dear, he's back.
I just got back. Call you out on what?
First of all, I was talking about how I don't think the X stands for crossover or cross, because in that case, Kimishima would actually know what the meaning was, right?
Yeah, true.
Because it would have very clear meaning. So I don't think it stands for that. And I also was talking about how I don't think it stands for Nintendo Experience, and I think that actually sounds kind of dull, so I was putting down your idea there. But
it's not very nice.
Just a little.
All right. let's get done.
All right. That actually kind of concludes all the main points from the interview that I wanted to go over, and so we can pretty much end the podcast here once we deal with a couple of matters of business.
Yes.
So we had our SteamWorld Day giveaway. We had some entries into our giveaway. So we actually decided to surprise y'all and give away two copies of it because Matt has a code as well as I. So our first winner is Kelly. Her Smash Bros. Predictions include Joanna Dark from Perfect Dark.
I like that one. I think that Whoa. I like the ones that start as Nintendo characters, like, you know, on a Nintendo platform. So I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So her other prediction, this is more of a hope, I think, was for Skull Kid to make it in. He's already in as an assist trophy, so it's a little bit like, yeah, you don't really know if that's going to work. But
I think
Skull
Nintendo
Kid was...
actually went on, they went on what's it called?
On record
of saying that if they're a trophy, they can't be a character, because there was a lot of for Waluigi, but Waluigi is obviously a trophy.
Yeah, an assist trophy.
Pretty sure that's what Nintendo said.
Well, that's too bad. She actually came up with a pretty cool suggestion for the final Smash, which would be calling down the moon, of course, and obliterating the battlefield with the moon. So
yeah, that's a good one.
Yep, those were Kelly's predictions and / hopes. Like, nobody, you know, predicts anything that they don't hope for, I feel like. So, all right. Our second winner was Kiaudai. He's actually a writer on the site. So, we had to be fair and stuff and pick the random ones. But his prediction, he just listed off a few characters. Banjo-Kazooie, Ice Climbers, and King K. Rool are going to make it in. He didn't specify which ones he thought would be the ballot winner necessarily. So
there's a lot of love for King K. Rool.
Yeah, that kind of surprises me. I'm not a huge fan of that character.
Me either.
Yeah, I have no affinity for that at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a boss in Donkey Kong. I guess people just want a boss from the Donkey Kong Country series to make it in, as far as I can tell, because there's nothing overly interesting about that character.
Yeah. I'd rather have Banjo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet, you know what, that might just be the ballot winner. Whether Nintendo can make it happen with, you know, like, ownership and stuff like that of the characters, that I don't know, but...
Microsoft said they wouldn't mind.
Yeah, they have said that, so... Banjo-Kazooie's probably pretty high up there. So yeah, those were our winners for SteamWorld Dig for Wii U, so we will be sending you your codes probably Monday morning when the podcast is published, so look for those. Also, because this is December, it's the month of giving, we are going to do another giveaway this week. This week we'll be giving away, let's see, I have to make sure that I get this full title, because the full title is...
Big, it's a long one.
It's awesome. BitTrip, what is it?
BitTrip presents Runner 2, Future Legend of Rhythm Alien.
Rhythm Alien, yep, okay. So we will be giving away a Wii U code for that, North America only as always, because that's kind of where we live. All you have to do to enter this giveaway is send us an email to podcast@nintendofever.com. That's always our email. It never changes, so you should know it by now. Send us a picture of some swag, any Nintendo-related swag that you're particularly proud of, your game collection, whatever it might be. Send us a nice picture. You will be entered in the contest to receive BitTrip Runner 2, etc., etc. We will be choosing the winner randomly, so don't worry about being like a professional photographer level of photograph. Just send us your recent swag in an email, and you will be entered to win that game.
And it's
it's North America only.
It's a really fun game too. I mean, I'm sure it has a good history, and everyone seems to understand that it's a fun game. But it really is a very, very fun game, and I'm excited to give it away and have more people play it because it's pretty cool. And I believe it comes with I don't even know. I was gonna say I think it comes with the DLC, but I don't know if it does or not.
I don't think so. I think that's. Oh hey, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a chance maybe it does, but I'm not gonna say it does just because I'm not sure. But if not, you could always get the DLC for it, which is pretty cool stuff. It adds a lot of indie characters to get a run as in place of him, which is cool. But
yeah.
Just send us an email at podcast at nintendofever.com of a picture of
everybody
your
say it at once.
No, it will all mess it up. I'll mess it up.
Podcast
at
nintendofever.com. That was amazing. Our teamwork is amazing.
Ba-da-da-da.
All right. Yeah, Friday, it's December now. My goodness. Friday, December 11th is your last day to enter that. So if it is a day after or even even further after that, you're too late to enter the contest. So, get on that. Send us your recent swag. And we're really pleased. I mean, we obviously like not necessarily recent swag. I just have that in my head. We do love our swag here. So please enter the contest and let us know what you own that is awesome. All right, that pretty much concludes this episode of the podcast. You can email us, anything, any thoughts or comments you might have on this episode of the podcast, along with your contest entry, again, to podcast@nintendofever.com. You can follow @NintendoFever on Twitter. You can follow me personally on Twitter @HollyFelmuth, and I believe you can find Matt.
You can find me, as always, @OnlyMattDezen, right there on Twitter. Talk to me about why I'm crazy about liking to use a Wiimote when I play Smash Brothers. Or you can just tell me about how I'm missing out on some exciting video game. Anything you want, just hit me up on Twitter @OnlyMattDezen.
And Bradley.
I am @BradleyCragen.
Yep, you can also find Bradley on the YouTube. He produces very excellent Nintendo video content, reviews, things like that. You can find him @BradleyNews11 on YouTube, so don't miss out on following Bradley on YouTube. He's one of the better YouTubers to follow for Nintendo content, so.
Oh, shucks.
Go do that as well. I'm not even, like, I'm not just saying that. It's good stuff, so.
Very good.
Go check out Bradley as well.
Thanks, Holly. All right.
That brings us, though, to the end of episode 41 of the podcast. This has been Holly Felmuth, Bradley Cragen. Again, I'm doing the wrong order here. And Matt Desend, thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Bye.
Stay warm.